Blog Talk Radio.
I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Good morning. Are you ready to move forward this morning? Are you ready to move forward with the Word of God? Are you ready to go and be about your Father's business? Hallelujah. Thank you so very much for calling in and listening in this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it's a good word. It's a great word. It's a godly word. It's good, it's great, it's godly. Hallelujah. Triple G's, thank you, God, for your word that you have left us, this magnificent word that we call the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. I'm excited this morning. We are, today is simply this. I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. Are you ready to be about your Father's business this morning? I am ready to be about. Father's business is soul saving. My Father's business is giving us a son. Hallelujah, a Savior. And this Savior was about his Father's business, teaching and learning in the temple. And I'm grateful for a teaching, Bible-believing, Bible-trusting church. King God, for you, a shout-out to my pastor, Pastor Dusty, and Pastor Paul Herring. On yesterday, we ordained a new assistant pastor, associate pastor, Minister Melissa, and awesome prayer warrior. When we say somebody can get a prayer through, she's a prayer warrior. She's an intercessor, and she can get a prayer through. And you know how my pastor tells us all the time, the enemy comes before or after a move of God. Earlier this week, or last week, you know, the enemy tried to take her out, but God. And she was there, beautiful as ever, for her ordination on yesterday. So shout out to Pastor Melissa, who also is a listener of this blog. And so just wanted to give her a shout out to let her know, wow, is all I can say, because it's well-deserved. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman of God who I like to call my sister. Hallelujah. Got a lot of sisters. And she's one of them. For wonderful woman of God and sister in ministry. So thanking God for the wonderful women that I know who have a job to do, who are about our Father's business. So let's get in our word this morning as we pray. Father God in heaven, we are thanking you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are thanking you, Lord, that you loved us enough to take our sins to the cross. You loved us enough to give us an intercessor who is the Savior, who intercedes constantly for us with you. Lord, we thank you for your grace for your mercy, goodness, and your kindness. And Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. I cannot do this without you. Father God, as you increase and I decrease, I thank you this morning for waking me up and giving me a do-over, putting a pep in my step and the joy of you in my heart. For, Lord, the joy of the Lord is what comes from me to you. I am grateful. I am thankful. And as always, Lord, I tell you every day, I am blessed to be a daughter of the Father. I am blessed to be saved by the blood of Jesus. And I am grateful that you gave me a do-over, Lord. Do-over. I pray that I'm better today than I was yesterday. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, my friend, my brother, my Savior, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory. Amen. Thanking God, wow, for his son who is about his father's business. So please join me in the book of Luke. Today is a New Testament word. And we will have Proverbs because we did not get to Proverbs on Friday. So we will have Proverbs and Luke chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 12, Luke chapter 2. And we'll get to the verses as we get to that. We're going to do Proverbs first, and then we will be in Luke. So please join me in Proverbs chapter 12, starting at verse 15. Again, we are in Proverbs chapter 12, verse, and it says this morning in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 and 16, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who keeps counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, this year we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And so when you hear me say life lessons, life examples, life questions, what would you do? What the Bible says about, those are commentary from Dr. Charles Stanley. And so we have a life lesson from chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. We all naturally assume our own opinions are right. No one thinks I'll believe this because I know it's untrue. Wise people, however, listen to contrary opinions to see if they might have made a mistake. Fools don't. There are folks that are still out there believing the big lie. There are folks out there still thinking that there was voter fraud, and it wasn't. It's just voter suppression amped up to the ninth degree. But understand that God is in charge. And what you try to do for evil, God will flip that script. And he'll flip it quick and in a hurry. So those that want to do wrong because they're truly believing a lie, when you choose lies over truth, when you choose to be suppressive and bigoted and all these things that are not of God, God will show you who you are in the light. God is a God of love. And if we start to love each other, watch God work. I know there are those out there who are not ready to accept. We are not. He is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Another proverb. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We got to follow the word of God. We don't want to be fools or foolish. What did the word tell us this morning? The way of fools is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I want to heed counsel and be wise. And then it goes on to say, a fool's wrath is known at once. We see it every day. We saw it on January 6th when folks were insurrectionists, tried to take over our government. It's frightening, family. I cried. And I saw Capitol Police officers being beaten, being pushed, being shoved, being hit with fire hydrants. That was not a godly thing. That was not a righteous thing. That was a foolish thing. And folks are shocked because they're starting to be arrested because they had no understanding of what they were doing. Mob mentality is a horrible thing. But we, as men and women of God, have something more powerful than foolishness, more powerful than hate. We have God. We have love. God, truth, love. Love trumps hate. Truth trumps lies. God beats the tar out of the devil. And Jesus don't play. How many times did he say, get behind me, Satan? When he tried to take over Peter, Jesus had to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan. I know who you are. When that sneaky, slimy snake slithers in to cause confusion, you know who's in charge and who did it. It was him. Trying to create confusion. He does it all the time. He is the father of lies and untruth. And this is what Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 19 tells us. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You better check that out. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A lying tongue is but for a moment. I'm saying it again. A lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20 through 22. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. That's a highlightable. You know when to use it. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. You better understand, God is watching everything. He sees our good, he sees our bad, and he sees our downright ugly. That you want God to see truth and light in you. Hallelujah. For we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves us each and every one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. As we have stated, we have got to be about our Father's business. As we get into our New Testament word this morning, we know that on Thursday, we talked about Jesus' birth and the angel going to the shepherd. And now we're getting ready. It's 8 days, and Jesus is going to the house of God. And this is what it says, Luke chapter 25, verse 50, 25 through 52 is our first section. And it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he was coming to be circumcised. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. She was a widow for 84 years, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mothers did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? I'm going to say it again. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business. Why did you seek me? Question. Did you not know I must be about my father's business? They did not understand the statement when he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I must be about, did you know? I must be about my father's business. We got to be about our father's business, family. It's about soul saving. It's about gaining knowledge to what? Save souls. That's what our business is. That's what we go to work for, to introduce those that do not know Jesus to Jesus so they may be saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Filled up this morning. And then when we get to some life examples and life lessons, a life example, Simeon, hold in arms of God. The years are catching up to me, Simeon must have thought, as he made his way to the temple. How many years had it been since he had received the word of the Lord? 5, 10, it didn't matter. Each day brought him closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 26. At that moment, a young couple emerged onto the temple porch with a newborn son. The child, Simeon thought, he approached the young family, took the baby in his arms, and immediately knew this was the one for whom he had waited so long. God had kept his promise, posted at the crux of history. The old soldier foresaw that the greatest battle of all time would be faced, fought, and won by this teeny child. There he stood, breathing the breath of Christ, whole in the arms of God. Oh, Dr. Stanley, make you want to shout. Life lessons number. I have to read 4, actually, from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus had to grow, just like every other human child. He became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom because he grew up in the grace of God. God's grace is what makes us both strong and wise. Luke chapter 2, verse 47. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now understand, this was a 12-year-old sitting among the teachers and the preachers. He wasn't with the little kids playing in the street, chasing after a ball. He was in the temple of God, listening and learning. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, from a very early age, Jesus spent a lot of time alone with his Heavenly Father. That made him spiritually mature far beyond his years. You can always tell when someone has nurtured a close relationship with God. We got to nurture our relationship with God. Thank you for starting your day out with me in Bible study as we read the Word of God, because this is us being about our Father's business, learning as much as we can. Luke chapter 2, verse 50. They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Even as a boy, Jesus spoke of spiritual issues in ways that his hearers often did not understand. Serious Christ followers, however, strive to gain understanding, as did Mary. Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and his disciples, Luke chapter 8, verse 9, which we will get to in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, yet God placed him in the care under the authority of his parents. So he submitted to them, not as an inferior, but in obedience to God. Honor your father and your mother so your days may be longer on this earth. Jesus was honoring his earthly father and his mother because God gave him to Joseph. God chose Joseph as his earthly father. And when God chooses your parents, you are special. I am blessed and thankful every day that my mother, God, I love my mom, a wonderful, awesome woman of God who understood that she was too young to be the best parent for me. So she gave me to parents. So I had a mother and a father. And she knew that my parents, that she chose to allow me to live with, my godparents, I will always thank God for them because they raised me to be a woman of God, as my mother, the woman of God, who loved me enough to allow me to have parents. And I'm thankful. And I say to you today, love has no bloodline. Love does not care if it's biological or the heart. I'm blessed that my great auntie and my great uncle wanted to raise me. I'm blessed that I had a mother that said, you can, because she belongs to you guys. But she knew it was only for a season. I am grateful and thankful and so blessed to be a child of God. And so I say to you out there, if you have someone in your family that needs help, don't vilify. Help. Don't be afraid to help somebody. I get laughed at because every time I turn around, I got children coming out of someplace. I started out with my two grandkids and wound up with four on yesterday before everything was said and done. But I'm grateful because I love children. And I love them from my heart because God gave me parents that love me from their heart. And I'm thankful. So for all my brothers and sisters out there who were raised as only children, when God gives you love, he opens doors for all kind of brothers and sisters. I have biological siblings, and I'm grateful for my brother and my sister, who I love very, very much. Very, very much. And I'm thankful for all my extended family giving me, my children, my grandchildren. He has given me everything I could ever want. As the song says, if the Lord doesn't do anything else for me, he's done enough. Hallelujah. We got to be about our Father's business. We are going into Luke chapter 3. So please join me in Luke chapter 3. Get your word out. Get your word out. And again, it is a great word. So let's start. And it says this. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, Herod, being Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Tetrarchus and Lysanias, Tetrarch of Abilene, while Ananias and Caiaphas were a high priest, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Come on now. And he went into all the regions around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And you know this word is powerful. You know, if you've ever listened to Handel's Messiah, this scripture is embedded in the song. And, you know, I love the African version, our African-American version. It's Handel's Messiah, and it's written by Quincy Jones, but it's Messiah with a little more modern beat. But, and it has so many different artists that sing in it. But this, normally done by symphony orchestras and choirs, it's like, it's so amazing, especially when you hear it in a cathedral and it has the big, huge ceilings and it echoes all through the church. It's something, it does something to your soul, the music. And then when they get into the hallelujah chorus, it just sends chills down your body. But this word is all embedded in Handel's Messiah, and it's like, wow, what a mighty God. And you know that Handel had to have gotten a vision from God to have written that beautiful music. And then as we go into the words again, we go into verse 7 of chapter 3 of the book of Luke, and it says, then he said to the multitude that came out to the baptist, be baptized by him. Because we know there's folks coming out trying to be sneaky. Again, devils trying to act like they all lovey-dovey and want to hear what you got to say. Then it says, then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized with them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectations and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His renowning fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. He was 30 years old when he started his ministry full time, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matthani, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jana, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthani, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Matthai, the son of Mathaniah, the son of Simei, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Johannes, the son of Reza, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shetal, the son of Nori, the son of Milkai, the son of Adai, the son of Kasam, the son of Elmodam, the son of Ozai, the son of Elijah, the son of Jerem, the son of Methai, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonas, the son of Elkim, the son of Melot, the son of Menon, the son of Methani, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah. Wow. Whew, I'm keeping it going. The son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Pelek, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Ephrazet, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Methuselah, the son of Canaan, the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Whew, that was long. In other words, he was from the tribe. He was a descendant of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to know who you belong to. And we belong to God. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And we must be about our Father's business. As we get into our word for today, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words. But we're going to go back to chapter 3 and hit some life lessons. The first life lesson is Luke chapter 3, verse 11. He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. An intimate relationship with God is about far more than enjoying warm feelings toward the creator of the universe. And genuine love of God moves a person to real acts of love toward others. Luke chapter 3, verse 14. Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. John the Baptist did not advise soldiers to go into another profession. He did, however, instruct them to act justly and mercifully with those under their authority. Did I say that? That he wanted them, what did Dr. Stanley say? To act justly and mercifully with those under their authority. We need to be, to treat our brothers and sisters as we want to be treated, that golden rule. Luke 3:23, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. God spent three decades preparing Jesus for his ministry, most of it in almost total obscurity. Anyone whom God uses greatly, he first puts through a period of preparation. And I can say that is the truth. I started this ministerial journey at 13 years old. At 17, I knew I was supposed to probably be a minister, but I thought I was going to be a Salvation Army officer, soul in life. But instead, I got married, had children. 32 years. And then God did not call me for 30 years. 47 is when I started this ministerial journey. Not knowing it's going to happen when I got pulled into children's ministry. Not knowing that I was going to be called to be a minister. 47. 30 years of preparation. Always what he's doing. Even when you take that road you shouldn't take, tuning out, being angry at the church, not at God. I just didn't like church. I was upset about it. Didn't want to go. Hypocrites. People that don't treat children right. People that should not be teaching Sunday school because they don't know what they're talking about because they're not reading the word. They're making stuff up. I'm serious. I had a moment. I had a big moment. Not that I wasn't reading the word. Not that I wasn't teaching my children who God was. The word of God. Just wasn't doing it in church. I had created my own in my living room. But I never stopped loving God. Never stopped being a woman of faith. Never stopped. But I was not in order. Folks, don't let the enemy trick you and trip you up to think you don't need to be in church. Because you do. You need the company of other believers. Part of the word, one body, unified. The church is important. The church is where you learn to socialize. The church is where you learn to be diplomatic. The church is where you learn every life lesson you can imagine. Some good, some bad, some ugly. Yes. But you don't tune out like I did. 30 years to get where God had been trying to send me since I was 17. I thank God every day for someone reaching out and saying, you are a Christian. Where do you go to church? And I'm like, I don't go. Yes, you do. You go into my church. And would not accept no for an answer. This persistent woman got on my nerves. I know you're a Christian. Why are you not going to church? You need to be going to church. Who are you to tell me what I need to do? She was a woman of God and God's sinner because my time had come. He was taking me back home, and he was getting ready to put me to work. The day I walked through those doors, and the Holy Spirit hit my soul, I haven't been the same. I am so thankful to my friend, my sister, inviting me to church, but not accepting no for an answer. So thank you, my sister, my friend, Jessica. I haven't been the same since. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And you got to tell people thank you. Hallelujah. As we finish up this word, and Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command a stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he abided by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Hear you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Got mad because he's like, "Hey, I'm just telling you the truth. You can believe it or you don't have to. Come on now." Luke chapter 4, 14, life lesson. Then Jesus returned the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Luke shows that Jesus fulfilled his entire ministry by relying on the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. when we rely on the Spirit as Jesus did, we can follow in ministry, in his ministry footsteps. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. I'm grateful, grateful, grateful that Jesus, that Father God, chose me. But I tell anybody caught up in titles, don't get caught up in, well, I'm a this and I'm a that. Because a lot of folks want to say they're called, want to say they're chosen, but their heart is hardened and they're not in it for salvation. They're not in it to be about their Father's business. They're in it for capital gain. They're in it for prestige. They're in it for the wrong reasons. And I tell you this, they will be bought down. What's done in the dark always comes into light. Don't get it twisted. God will not be mocked. Luke chapter 4, verse 21. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Everyone knew that the text Jesus read, Isaiah 61, referred to the ministry of the prophesied Messiah. Therefore, at the outset of his ministry, Jesus was making a direct claim to be that Messiah. And I'm going to read that word one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are claiming the acceptable year of the Lord. Just said, this is who I am. You can take it or you can leave it. And they should have got a clue when they called themselves going to throw him off the cliff, and he just walked right through them like they weren't there. Come on now. That's the word this morning. And as always, we have a word from our sister in Christ. Sister Carolyn, if there is anyone that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. And if God has put a word in your heart, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. This has been a great word this morning. And again, I must be about my Father's business. Family, you must be about our Father's business. It's about souls being saved. Hallelujah. I am filled up today. What a mighty word we have. And our word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this. Good morning. I pray that today spark a wave of blessings for you and yours. Have a super Saturday. And this morning, she's coming out of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. And it just says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Have a blessed Sunday, family. If there is no one with a word from God, we are about to wrap it up because we got to go to work. We got to be about our Father's business. I thank you all so much for joining me. I thank you for being a part of this movement of Bible study, of worship, of loving God. Hallelujah. I am filled up this morning. I got a pep in my step. I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Don't get me started. I'm about to really start preaching. Hallelujah. But I thank God for all of you. And I love God and I love you and I am grateful. So family, as we get ready to wrap up, I say to you all, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our holy Savior, Jesus Christ, for you, what he did for me. He died on Calvary for us. Why? Because he loves us. And he intercedes every minute, every hour, every second, every millisecond for you, for me. Why? thank you so much for joining me. Have a blessed and wonderful day, Father, Bible Believing, Bible Teaching Church. Don't sit under just anything. Find where you need to go. Trust in the Lord to send you where you need to go. God is in charge, and he loves you. For those that cannot go to a house of God, just know that this is a ministry too, and we are here for you. Thank you so much. I pray for you as you pray for me. But we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. Family, it's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. I got to be about my Father's business. And what do you have to do? You got to be about your Father's business too. We got work to do. And as we say on Moving Forward, it's time to go to work. And family, it is a wrap. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much, because we are all what? Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be children of the Most High God and to be about our Father's. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.